This is a message from Embassy Church in Belmore, Sydney. We hope that it's a blessing to you.
Thank you, Jacinta. Jacinta's just recently had hip surgery, so that's why she wasn't going to get up on the stage. It's not that she doesn't like the stage. Well, welcome, everybody. Just before I start, I'd like to just thank everybody for Thursday night. Wasn't that fantastic, those that were here? The Service of the Shadows, yeah, well done. Well done to Reed, who produced it, and just everybody who played a part in that night. It was just spectacular. And hopefully we'll have many more of those in the future. And today, happy Easter. In my day job, my other day job, I often wear a suit. And I go to places that other people are wearing suits and they're relatively dressed up, so I just feel like I'm part of the crowd. My suit doesn't stand out. Thanks, Jonah. Except for every now and again, people ask me to wear this. And what I found is that this makes me stand out. So when I usually go in my suit and my tie, I just blend in, I'm just one of the crowd, I like it. Anonymity. It's fantastic. When I wear this, people see me coming. They see me get out of the car, they see me arrive, they know exactly what I'm there for and exactly who I am. Which is part of the reason why this clergy collar was designed. It was so that people knew who the ministers were. So the figures, right? The thing I've noticed about when I wear the clergy collar is that people respond to me differently. I get people calling me father. I get people confessing things to me that they would never usually say. I get people offering me seats and chairs and people offering me a special spot just because I've got a clergy collar on. They treat me very differently. The other thing I've noticed about when I wear the clergy collar is that I act differently. I say, bless you, my son. No, I don't. I try not to do that, no. But when, you know, I'm driving along in the traffic and I've got my clergy collar on and somebody cuts in front of me, I usually wave with all of my fingers instead of just one or two. And if I go to somewhere to eat for lunch, I will sort of think to myself, well, where would a minister go? KFC or Macca's? KFC or Macca's, or should I really go to Subway? So it's like I act differently when I've got my collar on. I think people know who I am and I can't hide, so I've got to act a certain way. So what I wear makes quite a big difference to who people think I am, their judgment, but also to the way that I act. The passage that Jacinta read that we're looking at today, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I've loved this series, Anastasy, which has been going now for 3 weeks. The first week I spoke on 1 Corinthians 15 in the earlier verses, and then this week in the latter verses. And then in the middle we heard last week some great testimonies of what Jesus means to people and the resurrection power of Christ meant to them. And I hope that you've taken a little bit more time with that service and the service of shadows just to be more reflective and more focused on what we really are celebrating today. I think sometimes, and as I said in the first part to this message, that we just go along and sometimes, the resurrection, yeah, it's Easter Sunday, but do we really believe in the resurrected body of Christ, the power that rose Jesus from the dead? Do we really believe it? Do we believe what that means? Do we believe the reward and the hope that is given to us because of Jesus rising from the dead? And I think we decided that, yeah, we do, but we could probably believe it more. We could probably be more convicted about the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and what that means to us as Christians. Because if we do really believe it, if we are really convinced of it, then we will act differently in our lives. It will cause a response from us. If we don't really, it's sort of like, no, well, you know, I'm just living my life as a Christian and I'm doing the best I can. But if we realise the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that's a whole different ballgame. The hope that we have that Jesus promised and ultimately made available for us is heaven, is eternal life. That's the hope we have. And Paul talks about this. He talks about the first Adam in those first few verses being Adam that was created by God, made from the dust of the earth. And then the last Adam, which is Jesus, made incorruptible through the resurrection. And because of what he's done, we can also live that life and be filled with the power that Jesus was filled with, the power of God. And what he offers us is this eternal life. Now, I don't know whether you've been thinking about eternal life lately. And again, it's a little bit like the resurrection. If we don't think about eternal life very often, then we probably don't look forward to it enough. Maybe we're quite happy living how we live now. Now, there might be days where you think, oh, this job or this family or this... No, you don't never think that. This world, you know, the stuff that's going on. I wish I wasn't here, but mostly, and certainly in beautiful Australia with days like today, you think this is heaven on earth, right? I don't need anything more, but there is more. And if we really believed what Jesus has won for us through the resurrection, being eternal life and life to the fullest, like John 10:10 says, then we would live differently. We would look forward to our future differently. And it would change the way we live here and now. Not that we can't appreciate what we have here and now, but why trade that and value that more than what we hope for in the future? Now, you can read through. In fact, the Bible doesn't tell us too much about heaven, but there are scriptures about it. And it talks about, for instance, in John 14, which is a well-known passage, it says that Jesus, when he's comforting his disciples, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many rooms. Some say in my Father's mansion, or there's many mansions. Or it's like everyone gets excited because it's like, I've never been able to afford to live in a mansion here on earth, so I'm looking forward to my mansion in heaven. Maybe. But the point is that there's a place prepared for us. So we've got a space. Everybody wants to belong. Right? And if we've got a place with our name on the door, we feel like, well, we belong here. This is my space. So that's something to look forward to. A lot of other passages, and particularly in Peter and particularly in Revelation, the Bible talks about through John's revelation, John's vision. He looks into the future and sees what the new heaven and the new earth will look like. And he describes streets of gold. He describes a place where there's no decay anymore. I'm not sure about streets of gold. Like, I think that, I mean, that sounds amazing. I just don't know whether I'd get sick of it after a while. You know, just gold everywhere, just sort of busy looking. It's like if the sun shines, you know, I'd have to have my Polaroids on. But the idea of no decay, no sickness, no issues, no sinfulness, no hate, no crime, no curse... Now that, I think that's heaven. Like, that's the place to live. So when we think about this passage and Paul is talking to us about the resurrection power of Christ, yes, we think about the fact that Jesus rose out of the grave, and that is incredible. We don't see that. We've probably never seen that. Maybe we've heard about people rising from the dead, but you've probably never thought about it in that context or seen it in your life right here in Australia. But the power of Jesus doing that is incredible, but it gives us hope for the future, right? No decay, no curse, no problems, gold streets, beautiful water flowing down, the river of life. Just read it. Read chapter 21, 22 of Revelation. You can read it all if you like. But those just give us a beautiful picture of what heaven, the new heaven, looks like. The trouble is that none of us can have that in our present form. And Paul says that. He says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if we have a look at this picture, although we're all very different in this world, and there's some people up there that are powerful, there's some people up there that are geniuses, there's people up there that are extremely wealthy, there's people up there that are just different cultures, different backgrounds, there's people up there you might even recognize yourself. Or as good as we are, as great as we look, as fantastic as we may be in our skills and our talents and the stuff that we offer this world, we are all made of flesh and blood, like the created first Adam. We're made from the dust. And Paul says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So as beautiful as heaven sounds, as beautiful as you'd like to have your shoes off and your socks off, running it just over the gold and swimming in the river of life and enjoying no dust and no decay and no problems, no curses, you can't have it. I can't have it. It's impossible for me, being flesh and blood, to inherit that kingdom. I can't do it. I cannot get there. I cannot. There's no bridge big enough for me to get from here, this dust bowl, to the gold streets. That's what Paul's saying. We can't do it. Get a life, people. Think about it. Wake up. You are stuck. I am stuck. Because I'm flesh and blood. As I was thinking about the next verse that Paul talks about, he says that there's a transformation that needs to take place. We can't in our current form inherit the kingdom of God, but we can allow the power that raised Jesus from the dead to transform us from this corruptible into the incorruptible. From this image of man, just flesh and blood, to the image of God. And that image, our inheritance, is eternal life. It's not even just eternal life, it's great life now. It's like eternal life can start now because of the power of God in our lives. There's a transformation. The trouble is with our flesh and blood is that death is this barrier. All of us die. There's nothing surer. As successful as you are at life, as much money as you make in life, as good looking as you are in life, as well built as you are in life, all of the things that we dream for in this world, as much of it as you get, death will put an end to it all. But in this process of transformation, we get from this life to the next. Something that's very popular at the moment is space travel, right? Everyone's talking about it, Elon Musk, and everything that SpaceX is doing. Everybody wants to go. There's people that have already bought tickets. I was listening through the week that people have bought $250,000 a ticket to go on the first, whether it's Virgin's cruise or Elon Musk, whoever gets there first. They've already bought their tickets. I think since they bought them, they've already gone up. Now they're $350,000. So, anybody? I'm sure it's going to be an amazing experience. I don't know if they're going to be able to guarantee you get back. So it might be like a one-way ticket. But $350,000 one-way ticket's not bad. It's all right. It's an experience. You might experience something you're not expecting altogether. So I was thinking about this spacesuit, and there's a picture here of a young American girl. In fact, she's a researcher. She's a science researcher, and she focuses just on space stuff. So you can look that up, that picture. Her name is Lauren Rush or Brush. And she's. I watched a little video clip that is part of that picture. And what the space suit does is it clothes you and entirely covers you, right? I mean, we've been seeing all of this with the gear, the hazmat gear, and people trying to get away from COVID and what you can wear. But this is a complete suit. And what they do is, when they put the suit on and they put that little bubble over your face, you are totally in a world of your own. And they actually pump it full of air and oxygen, so that what you're really doing is, when you're walking on Mars, which that suit's specifically for, you are like living in heaven while you're in Mars. Sorry, you're like living on Earth while you're in Mars. Okay? So the environment in that suit is meant to protect you and give you everything in your fleshly body that you need. Everything that you have on Earth, you get to have on Mars. When you watch the video, like, it's so hard to move in that suit. The suit weighs a ton. She's trying to pick up a ball off the ground and she can't quite reach to get a tennis ball. Like, you are so limited because of this environment inside that needs to be there so that she can survive. It protects you from the cold on Mars. It's very cold. It protects you from any flying matter and stuff that might be flying around in Mars in the non-gravity experience. So this suit, without it, you cannot live in Mars. And so I was thinking about that suit and the environment that the suit gives us. And in verse 53 that Jacinta read, it says that this part of this transformation process is that God clothes us with righteousness. He puts something over us that covers our corruptible fleshly body that cannot inherit the kingdom of God, that cannot live in heaven, which we are hoping for. He covers us. He covers us with salvation. He covers us with his righteousness, as if we have never done anything wrong, so that we can be before God and live in that perfect place. The space suit, giving us that environment, I thought about it in the context, and I know it's not a perfect analogy, but it's like what God covers us in. It's entire or over us completely. And it's almost like when we become a Christian, we have this new transformation, this new environment that we can live in, so that we can be totally protected from this world. We can be totally protected from the enemy of our souls. We can be totally protected from what the devil wants to do in our lives. And the only inheritance that we truly have, which, as we've discussed, is death and nothing, to create in us something that we can inherit eternal life and be protected. See, the clothing that God gives us is not just for the future, but it's for the here and now. Things happen, of course, but our trust is in God, and he holds us, he protects us, he is faithful to deliver us to what we hope for. So here's the thing. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and that's what we are. Jesus made a way. He died for us. And because of his death, he took away our sinfulness. Because of his resurrection, he gave us the power and clothed us with righteousness, with like a spacesuit that can handle anything, that can protect us from anything and from what we deserve, so that ultimately we can enjoy heaven that's been promised. So what do we do with that? Of course, we should change our life. Our response to God's faithfulness and his love for us, our response to his death and resurrection for us, is to say, yes, Lord, I believe. And yes, Lord, I receive. As much as what God has done for us, for all of humanity, without us saying yes, it's not ours. Without us believing that it happened and believing in Jesus and receiving his atonement for us and believing in the resurrection, it's not ours. It's just there. It's available. It's a gift that hasn't been received. So we have to say yes. We have to receive the gift. And then our lives change. In that last verse that Jacinta read, verse 58, Paul says this, therefore, okay, so everything that he's talked about before, this is the reason, this is what we now need to do. Therefore, because of what Jesus has done, this is how we act. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. As I said in part one of my message, anastasy is to stand or to rise. It's Greek for the resurrection. But it's not just for Jesus' resurrection, it's for us and the way that we live. And if you remember anything from this Easter, this series, it's this. Like Paul says, be steadfast, be immovable. And I can just see that it's like we're sitting down, but we've got to stand. We've got to stand. Like, you could knock me over easily sitting on that chair, but if I stand, I've got a chance of stopping you from knocking me over. To stand steadfast, to be immovable, to keep doing the things that God wants us to do, the things he's asked us to do in his word, to be obedient. Sometimes that takes sacrifice. But we're moving towards heaven. We're moving towards what he's promised us. And because of what he's done, our response is, yes, Lord, I stand. In your power, I stand. And I will not move. I will not give up. I will be a better parent. I will be a better spouse. I will try and have less conflict in my life. I will live a life that is worthy of the gospel. I will share the gospel. I will be a light. I will be a reconciler. I will be an ambassador. I will share my faith. I will act out my faith. I will use the power that you've given me to live this life to the full and to look forward to the next with great anticipation. Church, people, individuals, let's stand. Let's be determined to stand. Stand up for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the words of the Apostle Paul, the encouragement that he gives us. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your sacrifice, you willingly giving your life, and then enthusiastically being raised and joining with the Father in heaven. We thank you for the fact that you pray for us, you intercede for us, you stand with us, you've given us your Spirit so that we can be empowered and live this life. Father, we thank you that all we need to do is say yes. Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for rising again. I receive the power that you've made available for me. I'm no longer limited by my flesh and blood, but by everything that you've given me to inherit. And I receive it. In Jesus' name.